What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 170 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We are going to be talking about the Destiny news that came out today. Of course, everybody knows what we are talking about. Beyond Light was delayed. That is very unfortunate, but it is not the worst of all things considering the situation that everyone is in and that the studio is in. We're also going to be talking about the Exodus Ingrams. We are not, on the whole, tremendously impressed with this Ingram, so we're not going to be doing a full, complete breakdown, but we will talk about each of the four weapons that it offers and if there's any god rolls that you should be chasing. But in the meantime, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Doing pretty well, man. Can't complain. I got my kiddo back from her vacation with her grandparents this past weekend, and so between that and having taken some time off and trying to get caught up on work, I have not been playing Destiny this week. But thinking about, you know, the podcast, I was just all day today, I was like, I wish I could be playing Destiny right now. So this is getting me super amped up to be able to play a whole bunch this weekend and get caught back up. So yeah, I'm good. How about you?
Doing pretty well myself. Happy that it's we're back to Thursday recordings. It's actually kind of weird to be recording this late in the week after doing it Tuesday night for three straight weeks. But I do enjoy the Thursday recording because we get to discuss the TWAB and everything like that. And we get to play a little bit after the weekly reset as opposed to recording right after it. But yeah, girlfriend's going to be going out of town this weekend. So I'm going to be playing a lot of golf and a lot of Destiny. I'm looking forward to that. Did get Ruinous Effigy and I've been really enjoying that weapon. I'm kind of going to hold off on giving a full review of it because I've been using it and I have a sneaking suspicion in the back of my head that it's actually pretty good and that there's some strategies to it that could be really, really dirty, even in higher level competitive play. So we're going to have to see. But besides that, you know, I'm doing great. I'm enjoying myself. Destiny is a lot of fun for me right now. And, you know, so is doing the podcast. So,
well, I'll tell you one thing I like is, I like watching people get orbed by that gun. I'll tell you what, it's very entertaining to watch.
I don't know if there's anything, I don't know what people are calling it, more satisfying than dunking on someone with one of those orbs. It is just truly something else, and it's addictive to the point where there's certain types of kills in Destiny that when you get them, there's just that immediate, you know, burst of endorphins and you're like, that was awesome, I need to do that again. Ariana's Vow one-tap headshots to me are kind of like that. Ruinous Effigy orb dunks are 100% like that as well. I just really, really, really enjoy them. Jotun kills, every Jotun kill. It's like getting a notification on your phone. Just that little ping and poof. And I'm telling you, man, I think Jotun has some potential to be really disgusting. I have gotten very, very good at using Jotun.
I saw your hot take.
To the point where I'm legitimately getting 25 to 30 kills a game using Jotun. Just Jotun. Nothing else. And it's not exclusively against bad players either. I've taken it into trials and had some pretty good matches with it as well. So I'm thinking I may have unlocked the next level of Jotun. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't want to give away all my secrets.
I think to some extent, at a certain level, people don't expect Jotun. It's been around for so long. And no one's ever really blown it up and taken it, I guess, taken it beyond kind of being a meme of itself. And it's a pretty effective gun. I can't say that I have mastered it by any means, but it is very, very hard to have a negative KDA with Jotun. Really difficult.
Here's what I will say. So the way the majority of people use Jotun is not a tremendously effective way. It is a very annoying thing to play against, but it's they sit pretty far away and they charge up and they shoot it like a grenade launcher or something, right? They launch it from far away where they feel like they're at a safe distance. And then they rely on the tracking for Jotun to basically hunt you down and kill you. And it's incredibly frustrating because they can be so far away that you don't hear the charge up. And all you do is just get blown up by a Jotun projectile, right? And I feel like that's how a majority of people play. And unfortunately, that for those people, that way is actually relatively easy to counter once you get some awareness. Once you know that someone is doing that with Jotun, it's very easy to sidestep. It's very easy to pay attention. They're going to be sitting in very predictable places, right? And so people used it were really annoyed by it, called for it to be nerfed very quickly within like a week or 2 weeks. Players were like, oh, this is how you play counter to Jowen. It's actually not that hard. It just requires a little bit of awareness. And so what happened was all those players who originally started using Jowen got hard countered. And they kind of were just like, oh, well, that was fun while it lasted. Like, it's a super cheesy, kind of easy gun. And they like put it to the side, right? Because good players really quickly figured out how to dodge it. I don't use Jowen like that. I use Jowen hyper aggressive, like in people's faces within, you know, shotgun range is what I'm using Jowen. It is a tremendously effective close range fusion rifle. And the area of effect damage that it does means that it can, its zone control abilities are also tremendous.
Yeah.
So I'm using Jotun, and people are so used to Jotun being used a certain way that they never expect Jotun in your face. They expect Jotun all the way down the hallway. They expect Jotun like sitting on top of, you know, a cube in Convergence or whatever and like sniping with it. That's what they expect. They don't expect me pushing all the way deep into their base and like getting up in their face with Jotun and using it that way. And I've just found it to be, the wonderful thing is that I don't have to ADS, right? And this is where it's different to me than like a standard fusion rifle. I don't have to ADS and I don't worry about in-air accuracy, right? And those are the two things that it enables me to do that are different than a normal fusion rifle. And that's where I feel like it really, really shines. Plus the fact that I can use it like Telesto, where if I know someone's hiding behind a corner, I'll just shoot a couple Jotun shots at the corner to get him burning, to push him back off the corner, or to wound him before I push up, right? Like, I feel like there's a lot of ways to use it that people kind of underestimated because the original way that people started using it was so easily countered. They never looked for that next level. So I've been trying to do that. And obviously still, you know, it has its drawbacks, a very slow charge time, the fact that it is a projectile and it can be dodged. And that when people are listening for it, it's really obvious when you're charging up a Joe, and it's like the loudest charge that exists. Yeah. So, but I've really been enjoying it. So
that's one thing I've noticed is that when I do use it, it's much more effective in the first half of the match than the second half.
Yeah, and everybody realizes you're Jotuning, and then, you know, they start to play counter to it as they should, yeah. And that's why I kind of dropped off. But it was enough to take Bastion out of my hands, which I didn't think there was going to be anything that could take Bastion out of my hands. But it has. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I love
it. It's a very long tangent for, like, no reason at all.
I feel like Jotun can be the new Erentil that we'll just casually mention in, like, one out of every three episodes for the next 3 months until it gets nerfed. I think this show is probably, like, 50% responsible for Erentil's eventual nerf, because we talked it up so much.
We held off on it for quite a while. Like, we didn't. I was using Erentil for a very long time.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until that people started catching on. Really, it was when that kid found the firmly planted thing on PC and started showing off that people started to realize like how insane Erentil could be, and that's when it blew up. And then we did the Erentil episode. And, you know, I think then it kind of snowballed from there and everything. I don't think Jotun's ever going to get nerfed because I think people have a mental stigma about it where they're like, I'm not going to use Jotun. Jotun's a low-skill gun.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think that will keep it out of a lot of players' hands. But I legitimately make it my mission to be as frustrating as I possibly can with that gun. And it is just, there's some things that just cause so much joy.
Yeah.
And Jotun, to me, is synonymous with joy.
Yeah, Jotun is definitely a dopamine shot to the brain.
Do we I feel like we are now in the middle of the episode again, but do we have some housekeeping that we have to get out of the way?
We're still less than 10 minutes in. We can totally talk about housekeeping.
Really? We're only less than 10 minutes in?
By my count, yes.
Oh yeah, we are. Wow. We got right into Jotun.
I have been mentally counting the seconds the whole time. I don't have like a sound wave with time on my screen in front of me. Just for anyone listening, I want you to know that.
It's very impressive.
So we've got some patrons to say thank you to. So I want to throw a big welcome to the Patron Club and big thank you to Viper1. I've seen Viper hanging out in Discord already. Super glad to have you in the community and actively participating. And really appreciate the support. So thank you so much. And then thank you also to Fear No Fish. I have Fear No Fish is in the Discord. I don't think I've run into this Guardian yet, but I look forward to that day, and I appreciate the support.
And thank you to our patrons. Obviously, as always, thank you to our sponsors as well. You guys are the ones who keep us ad free.
Yeah, big shout out as always to ZenSoCal, who is our ongoing Guardian sponsor, who is doing massive things to keep Massive Breakdowns a ad free, sponsor free, listener supported show.
And we also have some podcast reviews.
I always feel like I'm like on NPR when I say that. Sorry.
No, it'd be, what's it, PBS? What was the thing they used to say? This content sponsored by, provided by viewers like you?
Yeah, yeah. That's PBS and NPR.
Yeah.
Fully two-thirds of my podcast subscriptions are NPR shows that I just get on podcasts. So, anyway.
All right, back to the reviews. We do have several reviews. We have three, actually, that we have to read. Let me pull them up right now. One of them was from last week, and I have somehow now lost. There it is. Found it. One of them was from last week, and we did not get to read it because I think he posted it on Tuesday, and we recorded on Tuesday, and it had not shown up on the thing yet, but we do have it now. It's actually from The Patient Wolf, who we gave a shout-out to last week, I believe, for becoming a Patreon supporter. But he says, about 6 months ago, I got my first game console in 15 years for the sole purpose of playing D2. The whole world was extremely broad and confusing at first. I work full-time, and I dad most of the rest. But I do have the luxury of listening to podcasts while I'm at work, so I sought a Destiny podcast to help me learn. I found Massive Breakdown the second try. I found him way more palatable than the first one. And the content is very in-depth, but the hosts were easy to listen to, and sure enough, after a few listens, an understanding of the game mechanics started to sink in. It also gets me excited to get home and play and implement new knowledge. The episodes about PvP and gambit strategy were very helpful. I highly recommend listening to MB if you're a Guardian. If you do listen, consider joining the community on Discord. I'm new, but pleased with how helpful everyone has been. And signed, The Patient Wolf. Thank you very much, The Patient Wolf. I have, of course, been thrilled to see you taking like a fish to water to the Discord. I believe if I remember this correctly, you said you actually got an account basically just to join the Discord. And so we've kind of been showing you the ropes of the frames and how to LFG and everything like that. And really, really super happy to have you in there. If you guys have not yet joined the Discord, as always, we push it. Highly recommend it. It's a great community, a lot of great people. Great place to learn, great place to find people to play Destiny with, great place just to chat about drinks or memes or even post some of your own content. We have a community content channel for people who want to post their own videos and go live notifications and things like that. So,
yep, I think I can honestly say that I spend 95% of my time on Discord in our own Discord because we have so many great people. And it's not even me like posting. I'm just like reading like what other people are talking about because there's so many great people in there doing cool stuff in Destiny that I'm like. Days that I can't play, that's like how I get my Destiny fix, is like vicariously living through our Discordians. So thank you. Thank you to all of you for being awesome, because it is very entertaining to follow what's going on in there. Well, I think that wraps up the housekeeping then, right? Unless we have any more reviews?
We have two more reviews.
I can't even... It was several, then it was three. I tried to make it one. We're all over the place here. Go ahead.
You can't cut out all the reviews. All right, so the next one is from Viper, who we actually just talked about.
Oh, hey. Know your name.
He says, massive benefit from Massive Breakdowns, 5 stars. These guys deliver the goods on Destiny 2 weapons and mods in a brief, informative, and conversational way. No 10 minutes of in-jokes and irrelevant side stories here.
Oops.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but they get straight to the point, and that's going to get you back to the Crucible with new ideas for loadouts to get what is best in life, which is to crush your enemies to see them driven before you and hear the lamentations of their women. Thank you very much, Viper.
All right.
Also glad to have you in the Discord and have you as a patron as well. And then the final one says, agree to disagree about Iron Banner, 5 stars. Love the info, very insightful and well thought out. However, I completely disagree with Iron Banner. It is now Trials Light. Please make sure to consider this perspective of your listeners as well as your own. It's from J&M. J&M, I understand your perspective. However, you guys did have literally 6 straight years of Iron Banner with skill-based matchmaking. of which I never once got to enjoy a single Iron Banner. This is legitimately the only Iron Banner I've ever enjoyed in Destiny. So I understand your perspective, and I understand the benefits of skill-based matchmaking to certain percentages of the population. However, I am not going to pretend like I did not really, really enjoy this last Iron Banner. So, as you said, agree to disagree about what makes Iron Banner great. Hey man, I never even asked for Iron Banner to not have skill-based matchmaking, right? Like, I understood what Iron Banner was for, and I understood, they went overboard. They gave me all the playlists with connection-based matchmaking. Even I think that's a bit much.
Yeah, there has to be a place for, I think, there are benefits to both types of focuses, right? And typically in the past, Destiny, I don't, without making this a matchmaking episode as well as a Jotun episode, typically in the past, Destiny has always weighted their matchmaking toward one thing or another, but they've always considered multiple factors. It's a little unclear to me exactly how they're doing it now on the back end, right? The way they're discussing it, they're kind of adopting the common nomenclature, which essentially suggests that you are considering only a single factor in the matchmaking. I suspect that that's not the case. I suspect that there is still a little bit of skill considered in the connection-based matchmaking, and I suspect that there is certainly some connection considered in the skill-based matchmaking that we have in survival. So what those percentages are, I guess I haven't seen anything recent, but I don't know. I'm not happy, regardless of the change, with the way that Crucible is set up right now. I think Crucible needs a full and complete overhaul. And I'm gonna stand by that, I think, for the next 6 months at least.
Here's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say we put a pin in that and we make that next week's episode because I could go for, and we've done this before, but now's as good a time as any. I could go for a very long time discussing the state of the Crucible and the state of PvP. We've done these podcasts before. Honestly, I was thinking about doing that one tonight because I don't really like the weapons that are in the Exodus Engrams. So I was thinking maybe we should do a state of PvP, but it's only fair that we finish out the Engram series and we get these done. So we'll do this. I say that next week we do a state of the Crucible and we talk about it because, I actually do agree. I don't think that pure connection-based matchmaking is the way to go for the majority of players. I also don't think pure skill-based matchmaking is the way to go for the majority of players. I think there's a happy in between. But if we start having that conversation, it's going to be 2 a.m. in the morning. We're not going to have spoken about, the first in, last out, or the Behringer's memory, these tremendous guns. So I say we put a pin in that. We
Yeah.
talk about it next week, and we can come back to it. But in the meantime, we do have four guns. None of them are new. They are all reprised. Two of them are the guns from Escalation Protocol. We have the Ikalos SMG and the Ikalos Sniper Rifle. Then we also have the Behringer's Memory, which is a rapid-fire heavy grenade launcher, and the First In, Last Out, which is a precision slug shotgun. So, do any of these guns stand out to you as guns that you feel like you are going to need to grind to go after to, go out of your way to focus your Ingrams on these?
I gotta be 100% honest. None of these for me are a must-have. Of the archetypes, First In, Last Out is the only one that is in an archetype that I enjoy. And I guess I shouldn't say that. I don't mind having a rapid fire sniper rifle. When I have to complete a sniper rifle kills bounty or something like I do this week, having a rapid fire with a whole bunch of ammo does make it real easy to just go get a pile of headshot kills in a lost sector somewhere, and that's nice. That's convenient. So having a good one of those is maybe something that I might end up doing. We do. The thing, and I think this really is gonna maybe color a lot of tonight's conversation. We now have what, like an extra 2 months of Season of Arrivals?
It's 6 weeks. Is that what it was? It went from
Yeah, maybe it's 6 weeks.
mid-September to early November, is I think what the delay was.
So that's a lot of time to like be grinding out these engrams. And I think there may come a point where I'm like, you know, maybe I do want to get an Ikolo sniper rifle with a really good role for PvE. Maybe I do want to get a first in, last out to go alongside my good bone structure and Ghenora's axe. Probably that's the problem with first in, last out, right? Is I already have really good roles on Ghenora's axe and good bone structure. So I think for somebody who maybe doesn't, if you want a kinetic alternative to Chaperone that's legendary, first and last out may just be your Huckleberry, right? That may be the one to get. Unless you happen to pick up a really good Ghenora's axe in the next Iron Banner.
Well, it also is going to be the only one that's you're going to be able to bring to max light and the next thing. I mean, I think that's pretty much the only reason you would want this gun, because I think that good bone structure and Ghenora's axe both are capable of better rolls, and statistically, they're also both just better guns as well. Higher base range, higher base stability, higher base reload speed, same handling, pretty much same inventory, higher aim assist, not by much, but higher. So statistically, it's not even the best. In fact, statistically, it's pretty much the worst of the precision slug shotguns, which is unfortunate. Isn't capable of rolling with quick draw, which is unfortunate. Does have opening shot, and it also has Vorpal Weapon. So if you want to take this again to PvE, Vorpal Weapon is going to be a great option for boss damage
Yeah,
fatigue.
having Vorpal on there is really, I think, one of the shining points in favor of maybe picking this up.
And the fact that they just got a PvE damage buff. Last patch, or last major patch, last sandbox patch, I should say. So they definitely do a fair amount of damage. The problem is that I'm pretty sure that you can get a good bone structure that has triple tap, which is really what you would want to use for boss damage, right? Because triple tap is going to stick a bunch of bullets back in the magazine, and you can, I think, with the best magazine, you could shoot like 11 shots in a row without reloading, which is just incredible. So for PvE, Vorpal Weapon's probably the go-to. For PvP, opening shot gonna be the go-to. In the other perk slot, it's gonna be slide shot, which temporarily boosts the range and stability. You could also do pulse monitor if you want to try to do a poor man's quick draw. Of course, it's only gonna activate when you're critically wounded, which makes it limited. For perks, I generally try to get a range barrel perk, but that's pretty much all the range that you're gonna need to max out the one-shot kill lethal distance on these guns, since they crunch down the shotgun range distances. And then I like to go for assault mag in the next slot, because it ups the rate of fire by just a tiny,
Yeah.
tiny bit. It takes it from 65 per minute to 75 per minute. So
Yep, sometimes you need that second shot, so that's always handy. Yeah, otherwise I generally agree. I guess I'm curious to see how effective Vorpal Weapon is going to be in PvP on this gun. I think it might be a nice option to have. But is it going to be a difference maker? I don't know. These are pretty slow firing guns. So, may not really matter too much.
yep. I mean, that's pretty much it. This is the kind of thing we're gonna do for all these guns, right? Like, I'm not overtly thrilled with any of this
Yeah.
stuff. So we're kind of just bounce around. Behringer's Memory is a void 150 RPM heavy grenade launcher, which is the type of grenade launcher that was meta for PvE boss damage prior to swords becoming the monstrous destroyers of health that they are right now. So if you want one in case swords get a nerf in the future, this would be a good one to try to get. It does have some decent rolls. Obviously, spike grenades are great. Just flat out, this isn't really a PV. This is not really a PvP grenade launcher, heavy grenade launcher. The blast
Yeah.
radius is 15. It's actually atrocious. So probably one of the worst heavy grenade launchers you can use in PvP. But for PvE, where blast radius doesn't matter so much, you've got spike grenades, which of course is good. You can do field prep. You can do, I mean, I would probably do field prep because you get increased ammo reserves and faster reload while you're crouching. And then you could do demolitionist, auto-loading holster, elemental capacitor if you're a solar subclass for increased reload speed for boss damage. Those are probably going to be your best options right there. I don't know. I was never really a huge user of the rapid fire grenade launchers in PvE. Do you know anything slightly more about them? I mean, I haven't heard a ton of great stuff about this particular gun, but.
Yeah, I mean this unfortunately this one just doesn't really have a whole lot going for it that makes it stand out as being worth chasing to me. I think generally you're on the right track there. I think auto-loading holster is a great option to have. Or like you said, if you tend to run solar in PvE, elemental capacitor makes a lot of sense here. Get some better reload speed, although hopefully you don't have to reload this gun very often. I think auto-loading holster is generally better because it's gonna eat, like significant amount of frames trying to reload it, even with a big buff to reload speed. But yeah, otherwise, spike grenades and that's about it.
Yeah.
Shield prep, clown cartridge, solid choices.
Since I have a grenade launcher, the stats don't really matter.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just trying to hit the giant-headed boss with the little grenade. That's all there is to it.
Yep. The Aiolos SMG is one of the listed as 750. I believe it is actually a 720 RPM in terms of how it plays in the game, because 750 is not an RPM that is possible in 30 tick,
Yeah.
30 refresh rate games. So I believe it's a 720 RPM submachine gun. Being the fact that it's a submachine gun, it is not tremendously useful in the current state of the meta. However, it does have the ability to roll with dynamic sway reduction and tap the trigger. And the old version of ricochet rounds called Seraph rounds, which according to, I believe, Aztec Cross did the testing and showed that it still provides the additional zoom bonus that ricochet rounds did.
Hey,
So
that's
that's pretty
nice.
nice. And then you can, of course, get something like, for me on controller, I'm going to try to max stability, so chambered compensator or polygonal rifling. That is actually a great roll, like a truly, truly great roll. And the aggressive, or sorry, the yeah, the aggressive SMGs don't have as many problems with stability as the 900 RPMs do. The fact of the matter is that the optimal TTK requires all headshots, and you're just not going to get that on an SMG. And it, then if you don't get the optimal TTK, something like Gnawing Hunger kills faster, and Gnawing Hunger, you can also get good rolls on it, and Gnawing Hunger has way better range. So it's like, I would get one. I would 100% get one, and I would throw it in the vault, assuming that at some point in time, either they're going to get a buff or 600, adaptive ARs are going to get a nerf, and these things might actually show up a little bit in the meta, but.
So I think the only other question outstanding is how do you feel about a Vorpal weapon on this gun?
I mean, I feel the same way I feel about it on a sidearm, which is. It's going to help you kill supers faster, but you're going to be standing within 10 meters of a super, right? I mean, I guess since it's an aggressive SMG, it'll probably be closer to like 15 meters of a super, but you're going to be very, very close to a super. And, yes, you may be able to kill it faster, but I think for a majority of players, that is still a very risky proposition.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I think that there is a place for it. I think there will be people who like SMGs, and this is a way to I shouldn't say very easily, but relatively easily get a pretty good shot at having Vorpal. Got to hedge it because the odds, of course, are not phenomenal at getting Vorpal and also having other good perks. But it's got it.
It is worth pointing out that this gun statistically is an anomaly among the aggressive SMGs. It has by far the most range, by far the most handling, the most aim assist by far, a larger mag size, better stability. Like it almost has the stats of a precision SMG, which is a completely different archetype. Mixed all around. It doesn't fit into the rest of the aggressive archetypes in terms of stats, right? So,
Yeah, you're right. It really is kind of an outlier.
yeah. So it is absolutely worth having. It's not necessarily worth using at this exact point in time. And I know not everyone has the ability to grind for guns to put in the vault. If you do, it'll be worth getting this one. It's also obviously it is elemental, whereas all the other aggressives that are legendary are kinetic. So that's another thing as well. So I definitely recommend scooping one if you have the time. But how I generally define a must-have weapon is it is currently meta at this point in time, either DPS for PvE, or it's just straight up meta for PvP. And this unfortunately is not either of those.
Yeah, now this is a vault gun for future use for sure. Well, I do have some vault space. I keep it pretty trim, so I gotta be honest, I had not really considered that gun before we went through it, but I'm thinking it might make the list now.
Dude, it is a statistically great gun with great rolls in a underperforming class of weapon.
Yeah.
And that's just unfortunately what it is. And then last up is the Ikelos sniper rifle. This is probably the most sought after of the guns. The rapid fire snipers are in a pretty decent place in PvP right now. I think they will be in an even better place when Beloved and Revoker get pushed out in the next season. I personally really like the rapid fire sniper rifles. Aniela, which was the Dead Orbit sniper rifle, which was the first sniper rifle with the opening shot, was my personal favorite. I actually just recently got a Distant Tumulus or whatever it is. I think is that also a Dead Orbit sniper? I don't know, but I got another Vised rapid fire sniper that has opening shot, so I've been using that one. But I did get an Ikelos sniper that dropped with a lot of range and with moving target and with quick draw that I pretty much masterworked immediately
All
and
right.
started using. And I really, really like that too. I pretty much got the God roll on the very first shot at mine. So for this rapid fire sniper rifle, I like to try to max range, as much range as I can get. You can, of course, get Seraph rounds for that, or you can get Accuraz rounds. And then you can do something like Hammerforged rifling. Obviously, don't want to hurt handling too much, but because I got Quick Draw, and Quick Draw is really the only great perk in that last slot besides Box Breathing. Box Breathing doesn't help a ton on this sniper. So I like Quick Draw. And then in the first slot, Moving Target is again only the real perk, the really good perk that you need. You could get No Distractions to pair with Box Breathing, probably better for PvE than PvP.
Yeah.
But yeah, I legitimately got Moving Target, Quick Draw, Range Masterwork. I think I got Accurized Rounds and Hammer Forged Rifling. So I was like, all right, I'm set. Like, this is exactly what I needed. And it does live up to the hype in PvP. I really, really enjoy the gun.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I guess I gotta be honest, for now, I've really just been rocking my Revoker and boy, why am I drawing a blank? The gun I used to get Revoker. Bite of the Fox. Wow.
There you
There we go. There we go. The brain is slowly clicking back into gear.
It's late tonight.
Yeah, I've had like a God rolled Bite of the Fox since like the first Iron Banner, that it was available, which I think was one of the first Iron Banners, pretty early on. So, basically, it generally ends up being one of those two that I'm running if I'm running a sniper. I like the aim assist on the rapid fires, but the problem I have, I think, is that I'm so used to being able to really easily clean up anybody who's even been like breathed on, and I just forget that I can't do that with a rapid fire. And so I'd find it really frustrating to switch. And then the higher zoom too throws me off, right? I kind of got used to having Revoker. Obviously, Bite of the Fox is a 4.3, so it's still a little bit more zoomed out than the Ikelos is, or any of the rapid fires, really, aside from what is it, the Supremacy, which I don't have. So.
Actually, there's several rapid
Oh,
fires
there are a couple.
that are
Oh.
lower. Yeah, there's so the
Twilight
Apostate
Oath. Twilight
from
Oath. Oh,
Walter's Asara,
that's the one I always see
Omniscient
that I don't
Eye,
have.
Twilight Oath, and the Supremacy are all lower zoom. Twilight Oath is like ridiculously low zoom.
Yeah,
It's
that's.
the lowest zoom sniper in the game besides Revoker,
I've never
which
chased Twilight Oath. I don't think I ever even thought about it, but yeah, I guess I should have.
I chased Twilight Oath hard and I never got the one I wanted. It was capable of rolling with opening shot, and I was like 100%, if I get a Twilight Oath with opening shot, I'm golden. I never
Yeah.
got one, sadly. I had a good Apostate, I have a good Omniscient Eye. I don't have anything with opening shot except for a Distant Tumulus, so I am using a Distant Tumulus right now with opening shot because it's the closest that I can get to the Aniela. And I'm okay. I don't actually mind 4.5 times zoom, any higher than that, and I start to get frustrated. So, it's okay for me, But it is noticeably different when you drop from 4.5 to 4.
Yeah. I think for me, like, and I, part of the problem, right, is that the only real previous PvP sniping that I had was from Destiny 1, when I was used to just, mostly running like ambush scopes with whatever zoom that was, which I think was 3.5 or 4. It was pretty low. And so for me, playing with Bite of the Fox was a little bit painful. Like, it just felt a little bit too close in. And so going to a lot of these other guns, like, it's fine in PvE, because, like, whatever, I can be sniping from insane distances anyway. And the enemies don't really move nearly as fast as a Guardian does, but in PvP, it's for me, it's just off-putting. I'm just not a good sniper. That's just what it is. I don't love the sniping game. But I'll admit that the Iklos is probably, objectively, the gun most worth chasing, out of those four.
Yeah, I think so. And that's pretty much it. That's the Exodus Engram. So it's not tremendously special. I'm still focusing all of my stuff on getting a Cold Denial. I want a Cold Denial. Here's what I need. I need a Cold Denial. I need Chambered Compensator. I need Ricochet Rounds, and I need Multi-Kill Clip. I don't care what I get in the other slot as long as it's not Pulse Monitor, because Pulse Monitor screws Multi-Kill Clip. So like Feeding Frenzy or something would be nice. I need Max Stability. I need Multi-Kill Clip. And I need not Pulse Monitor. That's all I need. I have gone through, I swear to you, 100 Cold Denials, and I have not gotten it. My best roll is still the very first one I got, that was like the Zen Moment Headseeker one. It is so incredibly frustrating. I have done so many Cold Denials. So that is my focus. That's the only thing I'm trying to get right now.
For the most part, like, I've honestly got most of what I actually want at this point. And so I've kind of been like putting off trying to decide what am I going to farm now, because I've got all of these friggin' engrams piling up. My warlock, I think, literally has like 20 Umbral engrams right now. My postmaster is going to be full if I play on that character again without decrypting some of them. So I have to make a decision, and I've just been putting it off, and I've been like, getting some armor to try to gap fill and get leveled up a little bit more. And yeah, I've got to decide on a couple of weapons. So I don't know, maybe I'll pick one or two out of the Exodus here. Not a whole lot there that I'm going to use soon, but might be some items that are worth adding to the collection for future reference. So we'll see. I think the only question now that I have is, are we going to see any more engrams added? Any more umbral options?
I mean, they're gonna have to add something at some point, because this season is now gonna be 6 weeks longer than it was before.
Yeah.
Which also makes me question, like, how are you gonna do seasons next year? Are they gonna shave 2 weeks off of each of the next two seasons to, like, try to, are we gonna have one super short season?
That's a
Like,
question.
yeah. So, long story short, if you guys haven't already heard it, which I don't know how you could not have heard it, but Destiny 2 is delayed. It was originally going to
Beyond Light.
release
Destiny
with.
2 Beyond Light is
Oh,
delayed.
yeah. God. Beyond Light is delayed to November 10th. So it's about 6 weeks of a delay. So it's a substantial delay. I think Shadowkeep is delayed like 2 weeks, which isn't that substantial. Obviously, as always, I am in favor of delaying a game if it needs more time to be worked on. I would much rather wait longer for a game that comes out in a better state than I would them rush to release the game and then have it, just have all kinds of issues. So I'm glad that they're doing this. It's a bummer because I love stuff coming out in September, because it's my birthday month and I can, wrangle some extra time off work to play the game. But it's okay. This will be perfect for Thanksgiving instead. But I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I know that they said Festival of the Lost is going to take place in this current season now. They're extending Moments of Triumph. Like, they're pushing out a bunch of stuff. They said that they're going to give us some additional things towards the end of the season to try to, like, smooth out the fact that it's going to be basically going on an entire extra month and a half. They said increased Valor, increased Infamy, increased Redacted.
Yeah.
To me, that means increased Glory. Like, they're going to do a bonus Glory thing to try to get people into the competitive playlist. Like, I feel like that's what they're going to do.
I don't know if it's going to be something. I think if it was just going to be glory, they would have just said it. Right. They already said
Who
Valor,
had
they
never
already
done
said
an
Infamy.
increase. But they've never done an increased glory, though, before.
Haven't they?
And it kind of invalidates the now.
I guess.
Have they?
No, I
I
think they
don't think
just
they ever
changed the
have.
system. I think they just changed the
Yeah,
system
and
to
the
give
system
more
and the glory
glory.
system sucks now
Yeah,
anyway,
maybe the
so.
increase will be in an increase in quality ranking systems in the game. That's the increase that we really need. But no, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be glory, I guess. I feel like it's going to be something seasonal. I hope it's not increased Umbral Engrams because I can't keep up. It's too many
Yeah, I already
decryptions.
have like way too many Umbral Engrams, so yeah, it's I don't know how they're gonna do it, man. It's going to be a the end of this season is going to be bleak in my opinion. Festival of the Lost is not really the event that I look forward to the most every year. And there's been no word on whether or not they're gonna bring back Spirit Racing League, so at this point I'm starting to lose hope.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that announcement. I think if I recall, and I don't necessarily watch the gaming news outside of Destiny that closely, but I feel like Half-Life 3 got announced and we still don't have Spur Racing League. So, for me, that's just like I feel like a Cubs fan at this point, right? Like it happened once and now I'm like waiting for the next century for it to happen again. No offense to Cubs fans, it is what it is. Yeah, so that's interesting. I've already seen some speculation about the reasons for the delay. I'm inclined to believe them, that they
I
just
mean, I
straight
think the
up need
reason for
more
the delay
time.
is, yeah, it's pretty obvious. They're working from home, and that's a very difficult thing to do for game development. So, yeah, I mean, I believe that that's probably what it is,
As
that,
somebody who's
you know.
sitting at a desk with five screens, I feel like a big part of the problem is that most of these people probably had at least three screens at the office, and they may be down
Oh,
to
yeah.
just one. And when you've kind of optimized your workflow across multiple monitors, for those of you who maybe don't have that many screens at home, it becomes very difficult to go back. It's like you had a flip phone and then you got a smartphone, and now somebody said, "No, you have to use a flip phone again." Like you can do it, but
It's just
those text
painful.
messages are going to take a lot longer to type.
Yeah. No, I went from one monitor to two monitors to three monitors. And now, even going back down to two monitors is like truly a struggle. Having three monitors was a level of luxury that I have grown accustomed to at my work office. And in my home office, I only have two monitors. Granted, they're much nicer monitors and they're much bigger monitors, but still, two monitors is, you know, three monitors is
Yeah.
nice. I really enjoy it. Some of our IT guys at the office have like six. They have three over three, and it's like a wall of monitors in front of them. And I'm like, I don't know if you need six
Yeah.
monitors, but.
There's a point at which it's just for show, but at the same time, like I'm sure that they're doing that because then there are people who were like, "Oh, this guy's got six monitors. I better take him seriously."
Yeah.
So
It's more monitors, the more you
that's
know,
right.
right? That's how it
That's
works.
right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it is late, and I think we can call this one a relatively short episode as far as it goes. Do you have anything else you'd like to add before we say goodbye?
Nothing big. I will say, for those people who are really into the Nightfalls, they did kind of reiterate additional rewards enhancements to the Grandmaster Nightfalls, which I think is a good thing for the game. PvE always needs to be kind of kept at a level where it feels like it's fresh, and a good way for it to feel fresh is that it feels rewarding. Even when you're running the same content, you're trying to find new ways to optimize. I think Nightfalls are one of those things that appeals to a certain subset of the population, and I think it's good. I think it gives some variety to the content that's put out there. So just wanted to throw that out there. They're doing some stuff, and I think it's going to be good for the game. I think I need those enhancement
All right.
prisms.
All right, cool. Well, I don't have anything else to add, so I'm going to say goodbye, and we will see you next week, and hopefully. Hopefully, next week we'll also be able to do an MMO Life podcast too, because I have a lot of Star Wars that I've been itching to talk about. What I need is we need to record on a day where I don't have a ton to do in the morning the following day, because then I can have a whiskey, I can have a few beers, we can stay up late, we can chat, I'm relaxed. Like tomorrow morning, I got some shit to do. I gotta hop right into it. So I feel like I need to like get this podcast done, get it edited, get it out, and get to bed. And that's not how I want to talk about Star
Yeah.
Wars. I want to talk about Star Wars when you know there's not a worry in the world. Also, by the way, do you see the new Star Wars animated series from Dave Filoni and the Clone Wars guys?
No.
They're Star Wars: The Bad Batch.
Huh.
So you don't that I don't know if that have you finished the seventh season of Clone Wars
No.
yet? Okay, so when you finish the seventh season of Clone Wars, that will mean more to you than it does now. But there's a new animated series coming out from the same group that made Clone Wars.
All right. Well, I guess I better get caught up then. Yeah, I had not seen that. I was just actually looking at what was new on Disney Plus earlier today, and I guess I missed that.
No, it's just the reveal. It's
Oh,
not
they
they haven't
haven't.
the series is not out yet. The
Okay.
series will be out, I think, next year.
Okay.
So
All
yeah,
right then. Well, I've got
I'm
time.
excited
I've
for
got
that.
time.
A little bit of time, but you know, I guess. So what do we need to talk about next? We need to talk about is it clone the Attack of the Clones? Is that the next one? We did the
I
Phantom
thought we,
Menace, and I don't think we actually talked about
I
the movie at
think,
all.
well, what was there to say? Pod racing. Did we talk? I thought we talked about Attack of the Clones.
I don't think. What was the last In Real Life podcast we did? See, now you're gonna make me look it up. This is unneeded for the end of this podcast.
All
So I'm
right.
going to end this podcast. Goodbye, everyone. We will see you
Peace.
next week.